So my name's Carolyn, and this is the Soul Care for Caregivers workshop. And thank you so much for writing down your name and the person that you are currently caregiving for, or maybe someone in the future that you're going to be caring for. So I just wanted to set this little table up because when we are learning something, I believe we trust in God, who's the one that is the teacher, and the Holy Spirit is here, and the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to counsel and guide, and he's the one that's going to awaken us to new understandings. He's also going to reveal things within ourselves that perhaps he wants to touch and transform. So it's all about the Lord, and these names that are here, we present ourselves to God for this time. So that's how I'd like to begin our time. And I would like to read a scripture from 2 Corinthians. It says, "For it's God who said, 'Let there be light, light in the darkness.' He has made light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ." And I love this because when you just look at a light or a candle and not connect it to God and Jesus Christ, it's just shedding light. But we want that kind of light that truly comes from God, and only he can do that. So Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness. One of the things I've learned about the way I learn is I learn by participating. So there's going to be many moments of participation. So it's not so much the note-taking kind of workshop or seminar. It's a participatory. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to stand up. So put your notebook down and all of that. And I want you to repeat this phrase: Jesus, you are the light of the world. Yes, Jesus, you are the light of the world. Okay, you got that very well. Fill my mind. I want you to touch your forehead. Fill my mind with your peace. Okay, we'll do that again. Fill my mind with your peace. And then keep that hand up there. And then with your other hand, and my heart with your love.
And my heart with your love.
Okay, we're going to repeat this again because I know it's a new phrase. Jesus, you are the light of the world. Fill my mind with your peace and my heart with your love. Shall we do that one more time? Jesus, you are the light of the world. Fill my mind with your peace and my heart with your love. All right, and this time we say it as a prayer. Jesus, you are the light of the world. Fill my mind with your peace and my heart with your love. Amen. So my name is Carolyn, and I'm from Redmond, Washington, and I take care of my 95-year-old mother. And never in a million years, especially when I was a young adult, I never imagined when I was projecting what my life was going to be. It never came across my mind for whatever reason. And then fast forward now, I'm living in my mother's home, and I'm her primary caregiver with three sibs and a daughter and a son. We don't all live in that house, but that's the core family. And I'd have to say, I've learned a lot over the past 8 years of living together. And praise God, he has changed me. Not my mom, changed me. I'm the clay that the Lord has needed to really smooth out the rough edges and and really mold me into greater Christ-likeness. So the things that I have learned and things I've read, I truly want to communicate that to you. And if the Lord would even have a little glimpse of what I've learned that might help you, that would be a blessing. And I know for all of us, we have learned many things from God. So I hope we'll continue the conversation, and maybe in free time or lunch, we can talk about the things that we've been learning about ourselves and caregiving. So it's not so much the tangibles of, you know, well, how do I do this, or how do I choose a family home, or what doctors? It's not about that. It's about the interior life with God. So that's one very big kind of concept I want to start with, that there is the exterior life, the things that you do, such as, oh, I go to church, I read my Bible, I try to help others. Those are all exterior things. But what's happening in the interior of your heart? The hidden things, the things of, I'm feeling impatient. I'm frustrated with this. I've got questions about if I'm able to manage all of this. It's the interior life. So we're going to primarily be talking about interior life with God. Not exterior, but interior. So my heart, my goal is to share perspectives and also inroads so that you can care for your soul, so that you can be used by God as you caregive. Okay. So when you think about caregiving, and most of us here are from Asian backgrounds, and even if you're not, I think there's a, for Japanese, there's this word duty and obligation. And so some of us have been raised with that kind of value. Oh, it will be my duty to care for my elderly, or it's my obligation. And so I hope what I've learned, I don't want that to be the driving force. That's not the motivation for me to care for my mother. I know that value is floating around because of cultural influences, but that's not going to be my primary motivation for caring. And so what is that primary motivation for caring? Have you heard of, I know you have, but during Holy Week, have you ever been to a service where there's the seven last words of Christ? Ever gone to something like that? So during the last week of Christ's life, and then when Jesus was being crucified, he said some things from the cross. So we need to really pay attention to those things, because obviously, if you knew you were taking your last breath, you want those words, if you can say some words, you want those to be pretty meaningful words, right? And so some of those words are written in the scriptures. And the one that I want to share, and I hope you just really receive it into your heart, is what Jesus said on the cross. And I'll read it straight from God's word. He says, okay, so he's on the cross, he's looking out on his mother and his disciple, John, and John was called the Beloved. And he says, behold, he looks at his mother and says, behold your son. And then he looks at beloved John and says, "Behold your mother." So what is happening here? Jesus is sacrificing his life for the whole humanity. And as he's thinking of how that is happening, he's thinking about his mother. And I think that just says so much about who Jesus Christ is. Yes, he took on the whole sin of the world. And yet simultaneously, he is expressing his love for his mother and did not want her to feel alone or afraid that no one was going to be there for her. And so he commissioned her into the hands of his beloved disciple, John. And then to John, he says, "Behold your mother." And what I love about this is because it talks about relationship. Jesus didn't say, here's all the things I want you to do, John. Make sure you do this and make sure you do that. No, he talked about relationship. This is now your mother. This is now your son. And so that is so important for me to remember when I'm caring for my mom, that it's not just this task I'm doing for her. I always have to remember, this is the gift of the mom that God gave me. And so now I can care for her. And it's a relationship, it's not a task. Because I can be a task, I can get that list going of all the things, the medicine, the appointments, the piece of clothing that she might want. I mean, we can all make a list of all the things. But primary, Jesus Christ is the light. He's love. And then he has given me this gift of a mom. Who knew? She doesn't even realize. She says, "I never thought I'd live this long." You know? No one knows, right? So instead of duty and obligation being the value or the driving force, I put that aside. I recognize it, but that's not my driving force. My driving force will be Jesus Christ and how he gave his beloved disciple John and his mother into this relationship of caring. So I want us to experience this together. Have you heard of Visio Divina? If you could pass one of these so everyone gets one. Visio, meaning see. Divina, meaning divine. Divine seeing. So Visio Divina comes out of a contemplative way of praying that's very similar to Lectio Divina. Have you heard of that terminology? Okay. So Lectio Divina, Lectio is reading and Divina is divine. This is Latin. So it's divine reading. And it's meaning that we can pick up a book and we can just read. But when we are reading in the Lectio style, or if we're seeing in the Visio style, it's reflective and it's meditative and it's contemplative. So what I like to have us experience is Visio Divina. Where did mine go? Does everyone have a copy? Okay. So this is an artwork by a fellow by the name of Dyson, D-Y-S-O-N, he's British. And he painted this piece of art which captures Jesus Christ when he was being crucified, and now beloved John and Jesus' mother, Mary, are now walking away from the area that he was crucified. So what I'd like you to do is gaze at this picture. You don't have to necessarily look at me, but you can just listen to some of my words. take the picture and begin to look at it. And first, just kind of gaze at the entire picture. And now let your eyes land on one, whatever you're kind of drawn to, some specific aspect of this piece of art. Let the eyes of your heart be open to what you are looking at visually. Seeing with the eyes of your heart. Amen. So I just want a couple people to just say, what did your eyes land on? What kind of drew you in? A couple people?
Despair.
Pardon?
Despair.
Okay. The mother is grieving despair. Her pale face. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm looking in the background. This is obvious what is in front. I was looking like that. I see the three crosses in Golgotha.
Yeah.
The skull.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking
at. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot in this. Did anyone capture the relationship between beloved John and Mary?
Yeah, that's what came to me when I had the physical intimacy, like her head on his shoulder, that rest, and also the trust, because her hand is on his arm, but it's not even clenched, it's just resting on his arm. He's not going to drop her, he's got her covered. Yeah.
Right, okay. This to me is a beautiful picture that could take many, many opportunities for me to just kind of put that on my desk and know this is such, captures so much of the caregiver's heart and John, gentle, present, not hurrying her along. And then, of course, Mary in her grief. And you can just ask God, Lord, you loved your mother so much that you commissioned your disciple, John, to be her caregiver. So this scripture, Jesus' words from the cross, is my motivator. It's no longer duty and obligation. It's Jesus Christ. He is the one that's motivating me and showing me how to care for my mother. Just as he cared for his mother through the beloved John. I encourage you, it could be this piece of art, it could be another piece of art, but use that as your prayer to meditate, to reflect, and God will give you these kind of images that will kind of be new for you and can be examples for how to caregive. I want my caregiving to come out of biblical roots, not just what society tells me to do or what my culture tells me to do, but I want it to come richly out of the Word of God. So that's called Visio Divina, and I hope that, just like me, you also will find the wellspring of caregiving comes from God and Jesus' last words from the cross. How do you think John could even love like this? How could the disciple John even love like this? How do you think? He probably saw how much Jesus loved his mother, his family. And interestingly, in the gospel, John is the only disciple that's oftentimes described as the one he loved or the beloved. So, disciple John received and understood and knew Jesus' love. And that's why he could love another. So for us, we need to experience and receive every day God's love. Do we call ourselves beloved? Beloved Carolyn? Beloved Nan? Beloved Donna? If we aren't comfortable with that identity yet, I encourage you and invite you to say, Lord, help me to know that I am your beloved. I want to receive your love every single day. That relationship is foundational. That is intimacy with God. And if I can receive that and you can continue to draw me into this love relationship, then I will be able to love others. But if I try to love others without really believing that God loves me, then it's tough. We're kind of fighting against. So, identity in Christ, being God's beloved, is again our soul work. Our soul work. Okay? We've heard it many times, God loves me, but believe it, live it, receive it. There's a book that really transformed my way of thinking about caregiving, because I was thinking of caregiving purely as task. What are the things that mom needs? How can I make her life comfortable? What are the things that are going on with her? And it was pretty much all of her exterior life. I was caring for her exterior life, and I thank God for this book. And any of you like or have heard of or read Henry Nouwen's work? He was a professor in psychology, taught at Yale and other institutions. But in the last season of his ministry, he's a priest, a Catholic priest. And in the last season of his ministry, he served in an adult facility in Canada for men and women that had special needs, developmentally challenged. And that was what I think what God did in his life. Since he was so in the academia for most of his life, I just thought, okay, this is so God. The last season of his ministry was serving those that really could no longer serve and help themselves. And so everything that he had learned in his head, and I'm sure in his heart too, he got to practice that. He got to live it out, everything he wrote about. And then he also wrote additional work after that whole season of serving in that home. But I share this book. I've got a few copies that I brought with me. But this opened up a whole new vista for me, the spirituality of caregiving. It will take me literally years to really, I mean, I could read it in maybe a couple hours, but to really begin to process the things that he writes in here, it will take me years. But I want to try to capture some of this stuff because my mom my mom is with me, and I would love to be the caregiver that really serves with the purpose of caring for her interior life and not just the exterior needs that she has many. Okay, so keep this one in mind. Henry Nouwen says, caregiving is an opportunity for inner healing. Inner healing. For freedom and liberation and transformation. Wow, I never would even think of that. Like, oh, that's what caregiving can be? That never entered my mind. Inner healing. Me, my inner healing. As well as my mother's inner healing. My freedom inside. My things that I need to be liberated from. Things that need to change inside of me. Wow. I wasn't even thinking about myself. I was just thinking, okay, I'm gonna do this for mom. No, God wants to do a work in me. I never even thought of that, ever. But it's true. Because when I'm with my mom, I realize how much I need God. I get impatient. I get kind of frustrated. I get tired. I wonder what my sibs are doing. I'm wondering how long is this going to be? All of this stuff. But God is caring about what's going on in you, Carolyn. What's going on in my interior life? What's going on in my soul? And so that just flipped everything upside down for me about caregiving. And I'm not saying there aren't things that we need to do. I'm not saying that at all, because there are many. And everyone has their own circumstances. But God cares about what's going on in my soul. And to be perfectly honest, I get tired of myself being impatient. I get tired of it, like, oh, gee, why am I? And so God wants to do his slow, good work in me, and he wants to transform me into greater Christ-likeness. That's the gift of this relationship. That's the gift, transformation, love. So anyway, that's the unexpected gift. Very unexpected. I never would have thought this way. So what I've come to realize is that the purpose of caregiving, the very purpose of caregiving, is to experience God's love. That's the purpose, is to experience God's love for both me, the caregiver, and the person who I'm caregiving toward. That both of us will experience God's love. That we would know deep, deep, deep that we are God's beloved. So I don't know about you, but that blew me away when I began to learn that that is the goal and reason why we caregive. Maybe I'm a slow learner. Maybe I should have learned that a long time ago. But it is within the relationship of caregiving that God has retaught me or invited me again and again to be his beloved, and for my mom to experience being God's beloved. How do we get there when we have so many other things going on inside? I want to introduce to you a prayer of examine. Have you heard of the prayer of examine before? Some of you? Okay, good. Go ahead and take this handout. And I have handouts for pretty much all the kind of key points. And you might not get it all the first time around, but you can take this and read it slowly, you know, in your free time. But the prayer of examine is again a way to slow down and begin to notice the things that are happening in your life. And I want to use the context of caregiving in this prayer of examine. So it's usually done at the end of the day, but in this case, we're going to practice just a little short prayer of examine. And it's basically asking you to reflect. Is that the bell for the end of the session?
Yeah, that's someone's ring.
Okay. Someone's phone? Okay. So what I'd like you to do, you can read this in more detail, but what I'd like you to do is just put this hand out, just kind of on your lap, and I want to lead a prayer of examine just so you can experience it, okay? So begin to just pause. Might even want to take a cleansing breath. Breathe in a deep breath. Breathing in God's love for you. Lord, we want to think about you and how much you love us and you call us your beloved. Lord, thank you for the person that you've brought into our life that we are caregiving for, either currently or perhaps someone in the future. Lord, what was the highlight when I think of this person? What brought me joy? And Lord, what brought me discomfort? Lord, when did I give freely? Lord, when did I hold back? Lord, when did I feel most in tune with you as I was caregiving? And Lord, when did I not think of you at all? Lord, what moment would I love to live over again with the person that I've been caring for? And Lord, when was it that I would rather not do that again? Lord, thank you for helping me remember. And thank you for the moments that I've been able to verbalize and remember things I can't change, but I just really appreciate, Lord, that you understand. Amen. So the prayer of examine, there's different questions in these little boxes below, but it helps you to think about what is going on in your heart as well as in your actions. And it helps you to get in tune with that. And so this is a practice of mine, and it helps me because I think I tend to kind of just get busy, get into this mode of getting things done. And yet God wants me to slow down, Carolyn, slow down and start noticing. What are the things that you're feeling? What are the things that you're experiencing? And just bring them before me. Like, I'm not going to be able to change my mom. I really, you know, she's only going to walk a certain way, and I'm going to need to be there. I'm not going to be able to speed her up. You know, that's my problem if I think I need to speed her up. but I encourage you to experience the prayer of examine. Okay. Any questions about the prayer of examine? Donna. This one's going to be kind of fun. Kind of fun. Have you heard of story mapping? Cheryl, you've done that before? You're a teacher. Maybe you could probably explain it better than me. But story mapping is a way of kind of understanding and making a plan. So we talked about soul care. So in the middle of your paper here, you can draw a circle and you can put my soul, or you want to put your name, whatever, something that symbolizes your soul, your person. And then, you know that song, It Is Well With My Soul? And the history of that song came out of, I forgot his name right now, but someone know his name? But he lost his daughters, three daughters in a shipwreck. But his wife lived, I believe. But anyway, he lost his family in a terrible boat ship accident. But out of the depths of that grief, he found his faith in God and wrote a beautiful song that even in light of a huge, huge tragedy, somehow God's peace and God's hope entered in. And I would imagine he was a man that was just deeply reflective and able to commune with God in those moments and in those years and days. So if we think about our soul, and I want my soul to feel well, I want to be able to say, it is well with my soul. And so what is it going to take, or when's the last time I felt like my soul was really healthy and I felt at peace and I was, you know, content? So if this is my soul, in whatever condition that is, what do I need to do in my own reflection? And I was thinking, for me, sometimes I get really, really busy, and so I need rest. And so I can just make that line and I can put the word rest, and then a little later I can say, what would that look like? What would I do? Does that mean sleeping, you know, getting a really good sleep? I can detail it out a little bit more and write, like, I would need sleep. You can just keep getting more detail, but for sure you want to get that, like, that one main thing that would be helpful. Another thing that brings my soul, what else brings my soul joy? When is the last time I felt joy? And I'm thinking, oh, I remember it was when I ate sushi. Because that's my favorite food. But that makes me happy. I can't eat it all the time, but on occasion. And so maybe it's something that delights you. What delights your soul? And have you experienced that lately? So I want to say I want something to not only rest, but I want something that kind of revives me or brings me joy. And so I want to identify those things, and then I want to get more detail. It's not just some dream, oh yeah, I want to do that someday. No, I would like to experience it today or this week. So what I want you to do, and there's no right or wrong way to do any of this, it's just trying to get a little visual of how is things with my soul, and what are things that I need to do, I want to do, that will bring my soul into health, greater health. I'm just giving myself a little example. On the flip side, those were kind of positive things. Maybe there's some things that are just really weighing down. Maybe there's a broken communication. Maybe there's some resentment, or maybe there's disappointment. Those things can be identified too. This is not just a happy list. This is stuff that's really going on in your soul. Things that you're wondering about, things that are hard. I'm going to give you a few minutes to do this so you can kind of feel free to think and reflect and identify. Okay, maybe just finish up that last little thought. And I don't know if someone might be willing to share something that might increase the health of your soul. It's something that maybe you'd like to share with the group. Or maybe turn to your neighbor. Why don't you turn to your neighbor? Just say one short little thing that you hope that you can experience that would bring increased health to your soul. So just, if there's five on a row, maybe just two, two, and then go across the line. Like two, two, and then you two. And, yeah. Maybe we can share a couple things.
Hi, I'm June. Mm-hmm. I have some sadness about my son. He has cancer. He's on vacation and ended up in London, and he had to go into the hospital.
Oh my.
Weak and needed transfusion.
Oh my.
Just some sadness in my heart.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And then
yeah.
I want them to come home.
Yeah. Okay. That's hard. He's very far away.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, may the Lord protect and give you his peace. Yeah, okay. Okay, if someone hasn't had a chance to say a little something, switch to the other person. Just share something that you were going to maybe. Something about your story mapping, just maybe something that you're going to try to do to care for your soul. Yeah. Okay, I'd like to draw you back again, and I guess that works a lot better when you just turn to your neighbor instead of sharing in front of the whole group. But it's apparent to me that there's lots that you could share, and we could continue for many minutes together of the things that are kind of weighing on our soul and the things that we are going to trust God to give us some insight as to make steps toward greater health, so that we can truly say it is well with my soul, even in the midst of very difficult circumstances that we cannot change. So thank you for participating, and that's something that you can just keep working on when you get home, and keep praying and keep thinking about, you know, what's going on inside, Lord, and lead me. The last thing I want to do is share a song. I'm not going to sing, but I know there's people here and in the camp that have fabulous voices. But this song also has touched me and has given me assurance that even when I don't know what's happening, even when I'm tired, even when I'm not sure if I'm doing things the right way, and even when I'm disappointed in myself, in the way that I care give, God is here. Yeah, God is with me. He is the Emmanuel, God with us, with. He is with us. So this song is entitled, Be Still My Soul. And I hope it gives you some great assurance. I always like to print out lyrics because I think sometimes when you hear a song for the first time, you're kind of going, you know, what? What was that word? So I'd like us to read this together. And then we'll listen to it on the CD. Okay, so everyone has a copy. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. Be still, my soul, be still, my soul. Cease from the labor and the toil. Refreshing springs of peace await the troubled minds and hearts that ache. Be still, my soul. God knows your way, and he will guide for his name's sake. Plunge in the rivers of his grace. Rest in the arms of his embrace. Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul. Though battles round you rage and roar, one thing you need and nothing more, to hear the whisper of your Lord. Be still, my soul, I know your way, and I will guide for my name's sake. Plunge in the rivers of my grace, rest in the arms of my embrace. Be still, my soul, God knows your way, and he will guide for his name's sake. Plunge in the rivers of his grace, rest in the arms of his embrace. Be still, my soul, God knows your way, and he will guide for his name's sake. Plunge in the rivers of his grace, rest in the arms of his embrace. Rest in the arms of his embrace. Rest in the arms of his embrace. Be still, my soul. May this be our prayer. Sorry, I need to find this. I can't get that one. It's number 8, so I was trying to fast forward it to the 8.
Whoa. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't want to go.
Yeah. It got to.
Try it on the back one. I'm going to try it back there.
Okay. Do you want to take that out?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'll. The technician that came to help set this up said, anyone under the age of 25 can take a CD and then put it on your cell phone. Well, I'm way above. I'm not in that 25 and under category. And so this is kind of old school equipment up there. Okay, I think that one might be it. Well, let me just say a few closing thoughts in case we can't hear the song. Before, I would have put just the caregiver, the person that we are caregiving on a card, like my mother's name is Chie. Months ago or years ago, I would have just said, just put the name of the person that you're caregiving and bring that name before the Lord. But now it's both of us. It's me, it's also my mother. And whatever your relationship is, it's God working on both of us, loving us, healing us, transforming us into greater Christ-likeness. And so I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm gonna tell you the last chapter. We, as a caregiver, are preparing that person that we love for eternity. That's the goal of caregiving, preparing that person for eternity. Wow, I never would have imagined that. I usually just think, oh yeah, I'm not sure how many more years my mom will be alive. I don't know. But no, don't just think of the earthly experiences. Carolyn, think of my mom into eternity. That's God's perspective, not just my human limited view of life on earth. So that's the last chapter, that we are preparing our loved one for eternity. And at the same time, we're preparing ourselves.